Good evening. It's good to see everyone back this evening. If you want to turn over to Hebrews chapter 2, we're going to pick up in verse 14 tonight. Again, it's good to see you all back this evening, and we welcome those that are joining us on Facebook. We're going to continue our study of the book of Hebrews, talking about how it was imperative that the first century church fix their eyes on Jesus, going through whatever suffering that they would have to go through. They would have to fix their eyes on Jesus, and that continues to be imperative for God's people today, that we don't know what we are going to have to go through or what we are going to have to suffer, both individually and collectively as God's people. But whatever we go through, we must fix our eyes on Jesus, because he was the one who was sent before us. Hebrews 2:14, it says, "Since therefore the children," of course the children being the children of God, the brothers and sisters to the Messiah, "share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery." There's a lot of good stuff there in those two verses. He's saying that through death, Jesus destroyed the power and the work of the devil. He destroyed the one who has the power of death. That through Jesus' death, that he destroyed the work of the devil, the one who has the power of death. And Jesus has been made like his brothers and sisters and share in everything that we endure. Flesh and blood, our weaknesses, our mortality, our pain. Jesus was willing to share in that and even taste death on our behalf so that he might destroy the devil, who the writer of Hebrews says has the power of death. And then he says that in doing this, in tasting death on our behalf, that through his death he destroyed the devil, the one who has the power of death, and delivered, that this in verse 15, delivered all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. That's a powerful verse there. He says that when you're afraid of death, and specifically here we're talking about death from persecution, being put to death because of your faith into God, that he delivered us from that fear. And that when you are in fear of death, that you are a slave. When you're afraid of what man can do to you, then you become a slave. You cower before people because you're afraid of what they might do. That they might kill you. That they might take away your stuff. That they might take away your name or even your power. And when you are afraid of them, you are enslaved to them. Not just enslaved to them, but enslaved, he says, to the devil. But by Jesus tasting death on our behalf, destroying the work of the devil, he set us free. He delivered us so that we don't have to be afraid anymore. And this is the only way, really, that we can love our enemy, is to not be afraid of our enemy. We see that a lot today, that no matter where we look, when we are afraid of people, we tend to not love them, but being afraid of people, it really should be against our religion. It's against Christianity. It's against our religion to fear religious persecution. It's against our religion to fear what man can do to me. When we are freed from that slavery of what people might do to us, then we are free to love people. We can love people without fear. We can even love our enemies. And when somebody forces us to go a mile, then we can go 2 miles because we aren't afraid of them. But when we are afraid of them and we say, well, if you give somebody a mile, all they're going to do is try and take 2, so I'm not even going to give them an inch. And Jesus says, no, don't be afraid of what they might do. They might take 2 miles. That they might slap your other cheek. They might nail you to a cross, but I've conquered the world. I've destroyed the one who has the power over death. What if the Hebrews audience really embraced that? That you don't have to be afraid of the ones that plunder your property. You don't have to be afraid of those that might kill you. Love them without fear. Don't be afraid of what they are doing or what they might do, that God is on your side. You are his children, and he's taking you to glory. The world to come will be subjected to Christians because that's what our Messiah has done, and he's delivered us from this fear. So let's just go ahead and wrap up chapter 2 this evening, but let's again do so with the understanding that the Hebrew writer is writing to his audience to encourage them, admonishing them to keep their eyes on Jesus, to fix their eyes on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of our faith, because they were suffering because of their faithfulness to Jesus. Because of their discipleship, they were going through hardship, and many Christians were beginning to forsake the way of Jesus. They were beginning to forsake Jesus and his message, and in turn his people. So the writer is writing to encourage them to say, stay the course. Be willing to suffer with Jesus. Be willing to be patient, to endure. He's saying that Jesus is better, that he's better than Moses, he's better than Abraham, that he's better than the angels. His message is greater and higher than any message we've ever heard. So listen to him and remain faithful to him. Verse 16 says, for surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. But because of him, he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. A couple of things there, that Jesus is higher and better. And we've talked about this in previous weeks, that his message is better than the law, which the tradition was among the Hebrew people, that the law came to Moses through the angels from God, that Jesus' message is better. And he says that Jesus isn't helping the angels. He's helping human beings, and specifically the offspring of Abraham. And the Hebrew writer is writing this to Jewish Christians, to the ethnic descendants of Abraham. And of course, all of us Gentiles that are followers of Jesus have been made the offspring of Abraham through his sacrifice. But he's writing here to the descendants of Abraham, saying that Jesus' intention is to help you, and that he's been made like you in every respect, so that he suffered exactly what you might suffer. He says that because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Because you were suffering, because you were being tempted, when you suffer, when you suffer, you are being tempted to give up. When it's hard to see, or when it's hard to see how things can turn out, you're tempted to give in and lose focus, or maybe even choose another path than the way of Jesus. When it gets hard, you are tempted to choose the way of the world, or choose maybe the way of your ancestors or forefathers. And the Hebrew writer is saying, don't do that. That when you suffer, choose the way of the one who is willing to suffer with you, that he might become your high priest, your merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, who has made propitiation for the sins of the people, who was willing to come and to offer himself to taste death for everyone, that he might make atonement for us. And that means to put off your sins, to turn away from the consequences of the wrath of God. Jesus was willing to come and to be our high priest, to be our mediator, to be the one to come and reconcile us to the Father. The descendants of Abraham, the Jewish people, knew that they had been exiled from God, and they were waiting for the Messiah to come and to reconcile them back with the Father. Well, now the Messiah has come, and he has reconciled them to the Father, made propitiation for their sins, took away the consequences of their sins so that they could be reconciled with God. And now he's come, and the writer of Hebrews is encouraging them to remain faithful to the merciful and the faithful high priest, who has come and done this for them. He was willing to suffer with them, and then he could help them when they are being tempted to do the same. And the same is true for us today. That when we are suffering, we are often tempted. When it's hard to do things Jesus' way, you think about the Sermon on the Mount. Think about how hard it is to do things Jesus' way. To turn the other cheek, to go the extra mile, to love your neighbor, to love our enemy. This is the way of Jesus. Jesus says, blessed are you when you're persecuted, when you're reviled, when people speak evil against you on my account. Blessed are you. James says, consider it all joy when you face various trials. This is the way of Jesus when you begin to suffer, when it begins to get hard, and you say, there's got to be another way. I'm going to choose the way of my forefathers, or I'm going to choose the way of the world. And these followers of Jesus in this current time, or in the context of the book of Hebrews, are being tempted to go back and to do things Moses' way. And yes, Moses' way came from God. It was handed down from God through the angels to Moses and to the people and the Hebrew writer. But the Hebrew writer is saying, now we have a much better message and someone better than Moses and someone better than the priesthood. We have Jesus Christ, the one who is faithful, the one who is a faithful and merciful high priest and has given himself to reconciling us to God, to make propitiation for our sins, to, again, turn away the consequences of our sins and the wrath of God, to make us right with him. So be faithful to him, because he's helping you when you're suffering. He's helping you when you are being tempted, when you're being tempted to choose another path, because the way of Jesus is hard. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on the cross. This is what Paul would say to the church in Corinth, that he preached nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified. That when things are hard, fix your eyes on Jesus. When things are easy, fix your eyes on Jesus. No matter what is going on, to fix your eyes on Jesus, because he's there to help you when you're suffering or being tempted. Tonight, if you need to come forward and need prayers or encouragement of the congregation, now would be an opportune time. If you need to put Christ on in baptism, we would love to visit with you. If you'd please come as together we stand and we sing.